I was reading an interesting article during the week that was talking about the formation of the Anzacs and World War One and Gallipoli, and we probably know the story well. It was interesting where they talked about how the soldiers were prepared when they went to Gallipoli. The soldiers were told to have faith when they went. Have faith in the mother country that was sending you. Have faith in your own abilities. Have faith in your comrades by your sides. And that's really where the thought of mateship and Anzacs and everything really began. They were to have faith and believe what they were doing was right. And if they had faith, they were told, nothing could stop them. And by Christmas, they would be home again and the war would be over. Well, for those who survived, they were out of there by Christmas, but the war was far from over. They were told to have faith. Have faith in yourselves. Have faith in the people around you. Have faith in the mother country. Have faith that what you're doing is right and you will win. But they didn't win. Did they have enough faith? That whole idea of faith is what I want us to look at today. Maybe for some of you, you might think that life today or at different times in your life, it's been like a battle. Things have not been going well. You've had struggles. You've had challenges. And maybe if you are feeling like that today. Maybe it's to do with poor health. Maybe it's to do with financial challenges. Maybe it's to do with struggling family relationships or other relationships. Maybe it's a struggle to try to work out what is God's direction in your life. Maybe you've lost a loved one recently, or there's distance to a loved one. Whatever it may be, I wonder if you're feeling that the challenges in life for you today are very much like a battle. And I wonder if that is you today, and I know I've been there at different times in my life. Has anyone ever said to you, a good Christian friend has come up to you in the midst of your strife, in the midst of your struggles, and said, just have faith? If that's happened to you, how'd you feel? How did you respond? See, I know at one time in my life, I had a friend do that for me. My parents had just separated. I was trying to work out how to finish uni. I was trying to work out military stuff. I was trying to work out how to help my dad buy a house, pay bills, do things like that. I was really struggling with different things, lots of different challenges, lots of different issues. And my well-meaning friend said, just have faith, with a big smile on their face. I can tell you my feelings at that time. I wanted to hit them. And maybe you felt a little bit like that, because my immediate, slightly longer response, and I didn't hit them, was to think, what do you mean have faith? You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the challenges I've got. How can you say just have faith? And then I started thinking there should be something in these situations, there should be something more that I could do. I was thinking, why isn't God answering my prayers, getting me out of these situations and answering my prayers the way I want? What was I going to do with my life? How could I fix the problem I was in? And my friend is standing there right in my face telling me to have faith. I mean, to me, that sounds crazy. It sounds impossible. Have you ever been in a situation like that? We're in the midst of struggles, in the midst of challenges that were almost overwhelming you, and a well-meaning person has said, just have faith. Maybe today someone has said that to you at the struggles you're in. But have faith in what? Now, for those soldiers, they were told, have faith in themselves, have faith in the mother country, have faith in each other, that they and have faith in what they were doing is right and they would win. But they didn't. What should we put our faith in? See, I think everyone has faith in something. Faith in religion, faith in oneself, faith in science, faith in mankind, humanity, faith in intelligence, faith in reason, faith in something. I think everyone has faith in some way. And as Christians, we know what the immediate answer is, don't we? When I talk about what should we have faith in, the obvious answer is have faith in God. Just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? Sometimes it rolls off the tongue a little too easily. And I'd like to ask you this morning and get you to think about, if you've ever said that to someone, just have faith in God. Or where do you put your faith? And someone, if someone asked you, a non-Christian, your immediate answer is have faith in God. The follow-up question is, do you actually live like that? Do you actually live out what it means to have faith in God? What does it mean to actually have faith in God? And as I was reflecting on that during the week, I was thinking of where we're coming up to in the book of Joshua. And today, looking at the end of chapter 5 and into chapter 6, I didn't have it read out. It is in your outline. But I'm going to retell the story because I want to put you into the story today. But as we come to look at this, this is when Israel came up against the city of Jericho. It's one of the greatest battles in the Old Testament. Let me set the scene for you again. Joshua was in charge of the Israelites. They were standing on the edge of the Promised Land. As we looked at last week, they crossed the river to come into the Promised Land. But there's a few problems. For starters, the land is not empty. The land is filled with the Canaanite people. It's the land of the Canaanites. So for them to take the promised land that God said, this is your land, they would have to remove the Canaanites from the land. And probably the greatest and immediate issue they had to deal with, about 8 to 10 kilometres from the Jordan River, was the large city of Jericho. I want you to picture this city for a moment. The outer walls, there were two of them. The first wall was about 7 metres high and 2 metres thick. The second wall was about 10 metres high and 4 metres thick. And in between the two walls, there was a 5 metre walkway that guards walked 24 hours a day. Think about it for the moment. You're one of God's people. You've were here 40 years earlier, and then you ran away in fear. Or your descent, or the generation above you did. 40 years you've walked in the desert. You've probably never seen a city, not seen a city this large. You've never attacked a city in your life. How are you going to feel? See, as you cross the Jordan, as we looked at last week, God led the people across. And after they crossed the river and entered the promised land, God said, build a memorial so you don't forget that I led you here. Don't forget the great miracle of parting the waters so that you could cross. Remember, I am your God, you are my people, remember what I have done for you. And they build the monument. But I think God knows his people really well. And he knows that almost instantly, the moment they leave the river and start walking inland, they're going to forget who's in charge. And so as we come to face before this city, God reminds Joshua and the people again who's in charge. They're in enemy territory. Joshua meets a man, a soldier, in the middle of nowhere. And he asks the obvious question. He gets not an obvious answer. In verse 13 and 14 of chapter 5, it says this. Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us or for our enemies? Neither, he replied, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. You see, Joshua thought this was his battle. I'm sure he didn't know how he was going to win this battle or how he was going to fight the battle. He never fought a city before. He meets this person. Joshua's thinking, I'm the leader of the Israelites. I'm the leader of the army. This is going to be my battle. But the moment the man he meets says, neither. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Joshua is reminded very clearly, it's not his battle. This is going to be God's battle. Joshua is not in command. God is in command. This battle isn't about Israel against the Canaanites. This battle is about God against the Canaanites so his people could enter and take the promised land. So again, I want you to put yourselves in Joshua's army. You're standing before the great city. You have no idea what you're going to do. Joshua isn't issuing any commands, but God says this. I want you to think about this as a strategy to win a battle. God says, do not attack. What I want you to do is actually walk around the city. Don't tunnel under the walls. Don't weaken the gates. Don't worry about having an army full of warriors. You could actually leave them behind. But what you really do need for this battle are some priests, and they need to carry the Ark of the Covenant. And remember, the Ark of the Covenant was a symbol that this was an earthly symbol of where God was, and God was with his people. So if the Ark went first, God was leading his people. So God says, make sure the Ark's out the front and blow trumpets. And on the seventh day, I want you to blow trumpets and jump up and down. Now, if you're soldiers in the army, if you're anyone in the army, do you think that's a good strategy to win? You're probably at this stage thinking that's a little bit weird. It seems like a strategy for failure, not success. It sounds silly. It sounds impossible. It sounds like it could never happen. And that's why God does it this way. You see, God tells them to do it this way because it was going to be obvious, not just to Israel, not just to the people inside the city of Jericho, but to all the other Canaanites and all the other nations around, that if the Israelites took this city doing this crazy thing, then it's obvious that it was God's victory, not the Israelites, and that God was powerful, not the Israelites, and that God won them this battle. God tells his people, remember who's in command. Not Joshua, but God. And God is the one who can do the impossible. So when we think about that question that we raised a little earlier, how do we actually have faith in God? I think the first step is to remember he's the one in charge. In a sense, he is our commander. He's the one, when we face our daily battles, he's the one fighting them. It's not our battles. We need to hand it over to him. Remember earlier when I was saying, my friend said to me, just have faith, and my initial response were things like, I was saying, there should be something more I could do. How could I fix the problem I was in? When I made those statements, who was in charge? Me. I was trying to do it myself. I was wanting to fight my battles my way by myself. God really wasn't in the picture at that time. So I think we need to learn, in a sense, when we face our battles, we face our challenges, to really hand them over to God, to let them go, to learn to trust him. And one of the ways I find it easier to help when we think about having God in charge and having faith in God is in the midst of facing those battles. Remember the times that God has answered prayer in the past. Remember those times when I've seen God at work in my life, in others' lives around me. Now, when I can remember those things, it helps me to think, yes, God is in charge, and I can hand it over to him. It's not always easy. It's not always something that's going to happen overnight. Now, we might not always understand when we take our prayers to God and leave it with him, with our challenges and our battles that we're facing. We may not see him answering the way we want. We may not initially see him answering. We may not think it at all. But we need to trust him that he is, because he is the one who's in charge. God told his people to walk around the city of Jericho, to blow their trumpets, to jump up and down, and God would give them victory. The challenge for them was, would they follow the orders? To have faith in God. See, I think the second part of having faith in God is not just remembering God's in charge, that he's the commander, but we actually have to follow his orders. See, a bit like last week, where God says to the priests, you will take the Ark of the Covenant, you'll step into the flooded river, and you'll keep walking. Now, that for them to do that was to have faith and to put it into action. See, remember, God stopped the river 20 kilometers away. Those priests were well and truly wet before the rivers stopped and the dry land was there. But they showed they had faith and trusted God every step that they took. And I think that's the second part of having faith in God, that we need to actually follow the orders that he gives, whether it's through reading his word, whether it's through prayer, whether it's through talking to mature Christians around us and asking for advice. And when they speak to us and give that advice, you know, God can speak through them to help us. In a sense, that's God giving us orders to follow. You know, we know how what he's telling us, how to live our lives. The question for us is, will we do it? Will we follow the orders that he gives? Again, we might think it's easy to do, but again, it's challenging and sometimes hard to actually do that. We know what he says. How well do we do at living it out? How well do we do at following orders? Now, I wonder if any of you know about the Impala deer, an African deer, which is quite a remarkable animal because they could jump up to 4 meters straight in the air. And when they jump, they can jump 10 meters long. But what I found interesting when we lived out in the Central West, we would sometimes go to Dubbo to the zoo. And it was always interesting when you looked at the impalas, they were only in enclosures that had about a 1 meter wall, a solid 1 meter wall around their enclosure. And they never got out. Do you know why? Because, yes, exactly. Because the impalas needed to see where they would land. Then they would jump. If they couldn't see, they wouldn't jump. I wonder if we live a bit like that with God. God, I'll do anything you want. God, I'll be involved in that ministry. God, I'll go on that mission trip. God, I will take that job for you. God, I will start a friendship with that person so I can share Jesus with them. God, I'll do this. God, I'll do that. God, just tell me the outcome first. I want to know where my feet are going to land. If you tell me that, then I'll do what you want. Do we do that? I wonder at times whether we do. God, tell me the end of the story first. Actually, God, what I really want to know, tell me how it's going to be for me. Am I going to be okay in this story? If the answer is yes, hey, God, I'm going to follow you. I'll trust you. I wonder if we've ever done that. But see, that's not what God asked the Israelite priests to do when he said, step into the flooded water. That's not what he asked them to do when he asked them to walk around the city, blow their trumpets and jump up and down. That's not what he's asking us to do. See, what God is asking us to do is remember, he's the commander. He's in control. He knows all things. And he says to us, follow me. Obey me. Will we do that? See, to show faith, I think, is knowing God's in charge. And then listening to him and doing what he says. Do we do it? Or do we struggle with it? Do we have a faith that people know is alive and is in, they can see it? Or is our faith more like a dead faith? where they can't see it. I want to share with you a funny story that I heard during the week. A recording out of an American courtroom. And it's like this. The lawyer talking to a doctor says, "Doctor, before you perform the autopsy, did you check for a pulse?" The doctor responds, "No." So the lawyer asked again, "Did you check for blood pressure?" The doctor says, "No." The lawyer says, "Did you check for breathing?" The doctor says, "No." So the lawyer says, "Then is it possible that the patient was alive before you began the autopsy?" The doctor said, "No." The lawyer said, "How can you be so sure, doctor?" And the doctor said, "Easy, because his brain was sitting in a jar on my desk." The lawyer continued, "But couldn't the patient still have been alive nevertheless?" The doctor, clearly frustrated at this point, looked at the judge, looked back at the lawyer, took a moment and said, "Well, actually it is. It is possible that the patient could have still been alive and practicing law somewhere." Now, we might laugh at that, but the immediate moment we know that the body doesn't have a brain, the body is dead. Likewise, saying we have faith without following and obeying God is a dead faith. Because dead faith does nothing. I wonder what faith we have. Is it a faith that's alive? We follow what God says. We trust Him as our commander and follow Him. Or is our faith a dead faith? You know, and we know in the New Testament, the book of James really focuses on that topic. Is our faith alive and well? Is it alive and well when we face our Jerichos? Your battles in life, maybe even this morning, health issues, relationship issues, financial issues, whatever it might be, whatever your Jerichos are. As you think about them this morning, who's in charge of the battle? Who is the commander? Is it you or is it God? You know, do we hand all our anxieties over to Him? Or do we say, in a sense, "Yes, yes, I've prayed about it," but then we hold on to them. We don't actually let them go. We dwell on them. And we still struggle with them. Now, this morning, how are you going in your battles? Have you handed them over to God because you know that God is the one who is fighting your battles? And do you live for Him through that? See, I think today it's challenging when we think about it, because at times when I think sometimes we can really make it difficult for people to live out this way. When people are facing battles, they want to trust God. They're trying to trust God. They have faith in God. But they're still in their battles. And then sometimes I think well-meaning people come alongside them and they make comments like this: "You just need more faith." Or the other classic: "It's your lack of faith. You don't have enough faith. And that's why you're still suffering." I find those comments frustrating, because I don't think, when you think about those comments, you know, the challenge with them is that I don't think God ever says in His word, "I 100% guarantee the moment you pray to get out of your battle, I'll get you out." God promises to help you and to go through the battle with you. God gives you the assurance, if you love and follow Jesus, that one day you'll be in glory with Him in heaven. But He never promises that your life is going to be easy. And many of you in this room know life hasn't been easy for you. And you look forward to that day when you can be in heaven. But in the midst of that, when you know that, people saying, oh, you just lack faith, or making a comment, you need more faith. And you know that in within your own heart, you are someone who's put God first. You're trying to live God's way. And you think, what more faith can I do? Then just keep trusting. Keep living that out, because those comments are not helpful. Now, if you're facing a situation, a battle, and you've handed it over to God and you're still in the battle, sometimes those battles are a good chance for us to think about our relationship with God. Are we truly putting Him first? Are we truly trying to live His way? See, for Joshua, God told him, you know, walk six times around, on the seventh time, jump up and down and sing. Joshua might have thought, the fifth time round, I wonder if it's time to give up now. Surely we can just do it after five. Play the trumpet, jump up and down. But that wasn't doing what God wanted. It wasn't following the commander. But the challenge could have been there for him to think that way. So when we face our daily battles, are we definitely having God as our commander? Are we listening to Him, following Him, even when we're still in the battle, and following what He wants us to do? Maybe when we think about this story too, and maybe there's someone in the room this morning who doesn't actually follow Jesus yet. Now, when Joshua came upon the commander and he said, whose side are you on? And he goes, no, not your side, not the enemy's side. I'm here for God. The challenge too for us to think about is, you know, whose side are we on? You know, the question shouldn't be whether God's going to join our side. Because when we want to join His. So this morning, are you on God's side or are you not? And if the answer is yes, is He your commander or is He not? And if He's your commander, do you follow His orders or do you not? Today you might be facing a Jericho. It might be a large Jericho, it might even be a small Jericho. Someone I was sharing with during the week was facing a major Jericho. And my immediate response was, have faith. Might be hard. It might sound impossible or silly. But it is actually the right answer. So whatever battles you are facing, have faith, because faith wins battles. Because it's not us fighting it, it's God. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. When we look at the stories in the Old Testament, different people, different time, but they still have so much to teach us. Father, help us to learn from this today. Help us to think about our relationship with You, and if we are in battles or if we face battles in the future, will we remember to have You as our commander, to trust in You, to put our faith in You, to hand everything over to You and to leave it with You so You can fight it for us. And then while You do that, help us to live for You and go out and live our lives, no matter what we face. So Lord, I pray today that You'll help us do that. Lord, if there is anyone here facing a Jericho today, bring a sense of peace to them. Help them face what they have to face. And Lord, if there's a way that we can help them, or if there's a way we could be praying for them specifically, Father, help them to reach out to us, so they don't have to go through it earthly-wise by themselves, that we can help them. Lord, help us to help our brothers and sisters around us as we face daily Jerichos. And we pray for this in Your name. Amen.